as we were worshiping, I just felt so thankful that I get to do what I get to do, that the Lord opened this door to be able to be at this church, to be on staff at this church, and to be able to come in here on a Tuesday at 10 o'clock and get to minister to you ladies here today. It's a privilege. I count it a privilege to get to do that. But to get to this place, there were some times, and we should all the time, but I really, even though I felt that call, I had to trust that the Lord was going to open the doors. And we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about trust. This is going to go along with the Holy Spirit was dealing with me on a series about all the counsel of faith. I did that 2 weeks in a row. The second one had a, what do you call, a subtitle, which was How to Receive from the Lord. And I want to talk about that too. So I guess we could say this is a part two of that one. If we need to title it so we can search through and find it. Is this water for me? Right here? Wow. I got my Kroger bottle up here. I didn't know. Had a fancy glass. Mark chapter 9. For 2 weeks, I was trying and trying and trying to get to Mark chapter 9. And when I would get done, I'd be on the way home. And I was like, man, I never made it to Mark chapter 9. And it was so frustrating because I was like, there was some really good stuff in this. Happy birthday, Janine. So you're enjoying retirement, aren't you? Yeah, that's awesome. That is so awesome. So happy birthday, Janine. And I've learned this. One of my mentors told me one of the very first things. He said, "You never ask a woman her age." So I'm going to take his advice. 21? Okay. All right. Well, I do want to say this too, before we get started. I've never been known to preach short sermons. So if Wes got you last week, if you think that's anything that's going to happen today, it's probably not going to. If you need to go to the restroom, if you need another cup of coffee, if you need a snack, this would be your window to do that. Because the Lord doesn't lay things on our hearts for us to speed through. So if we took some time today, I say this a lot, but I do it with purpose and intention. If we took some time today to learn something, would it be worth our time? If we receive something from the Lord today, I mean, I don't know what time the soap operas come on, but I figure do they still show those? Y'all wouldn't admit to it anyways, would you? I think Andrew Womack called that as the stomach turns. Yeah. Anyway, I'm just kidding with y'all. If we take some time and not just to know something, but to get a revelation of something. Does that make sense? And I have to remember, I get preachy. I tend to get a little excited. But as I told our guys Saturday morning, when I talk to people about the Lord, I want them to know I believe in what I'm talking about. And I'm excited about what I'm talking about because I believe in it. But we're going to talk about trust today. So if we go to Mark chapter 9, and I want to go all over the Bible today. In my heart, there's so many things. As I was praying today that the Lord was just bringing to me. But the main thing today is I believe what the Holy Spirit wants to get across to us is when we leave here today, He wants to give us not just something, but specifics on how to win in life. And we're going to have to trust in these things and put some of these things to practice. And trust is one of those things. And we're going to learn that trust is one of those things that you are. Remember the infomercials where the guy had the rotisserie cooker? You remember that one? I can't remember his name. But his slogan was "Set it and forget it." You remember that guy? And there are most of the things you're going to come to life that you're going to have to say what God's word says over it and set it, and you're going to have to forget about it. You're going to have to walk away and let God do it. And that's the beautiful thing. That's the beautiful thing. But before I preach the ending of my message, we better go ahead and get started. So we're going to start in Mark chapter 9. I'm going to be in the New Living Translation. I know I'm a King James guy, but I've been reading the New Living Translation for a couple of months now, and I'm liking some of the wording in this. It's really powerful. So we're going to start in verse 14, and I'm going to read all the way through verse 29, and then we're going to go back and expound on some things in this. So when they returned to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd surrounding them, and some teachers of religious law were arguing with them. When the crowd saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with awe, and they ran to greet him. "What is all this arguing about?" Jesus asked. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, "Teacher, I brought my son so that you..." Sorry. "I brought my son so you could heal him. He is possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk, and whenever the spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it." Jesus said to them, "You faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought the boy, but when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. "How long has this been happening?" Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, "Since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into the fire or into water, trying to kill him. Here's a key what we're going to get to a lot today. "Have mercy on us and help us if you can." And this is why I really like the way the New Living Translation words this. "What do you mean, if I can?" Jesus asked. It almost seems at that point that Jesus was very insulted there. Jesus asked, and he said, this is Jesus speaking still, "Anything is possible." I want you to say anything.
Anything.
Okay, so if anything, what does anything mean?
Anything.
We need to get that in our minds, anything. There were no exceptions here. Anything is possible if a person believes. But when we look at that word believe, the Lord has challenged me to start using the word trust. If you trust somebody, you may give it a thought, but you don't give it a second thought. If you trust someone, you give them the keys to your house, you give them your wallet, you trust them with your family. I got one friend, a best friend of mine. I would trust him with my family and not give it another thought. Verse 24, the father instantly cried out, "I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief." That's a valid prayer. When Jesus saw that the crowd of onlookers was growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. "Listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and speak," he said, "I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again." Then the spirit screamed and threw the boy into another violent convulsion and left him. The boy appeared to be dead. A murmur ran through the crowd as people said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and helped him to his feet, and he stood up. Afterward, when Jesus was alone in the house with his disciples, they asked him, "Why couldn't we cast out that evil spirit?" Jesus replied, "This kind can be cast out only by prayer." Now, I want to bring your attention to verse 29. The New Living Translation and a lot of other translations omits the word fasting there. King James, if you go back, Jesus said this kind can be cast out only by prayer and fasting. Okay, now we're going to get to another point on that later. So we'll just cover that later. Okay. All right. That's all right. That might be the Lord calling. So what brought me into these thoughts here was what I noticed. I shared some of this with our men Saturday. And just so you know, we had 41 men show up Saturday morning. Wasn't that awesome? And not just because they were here, because I told them, I said, now, I enjoy teaching to y'all better than I do teaching the men. And I said, it's kind of like, you know, with men, it's like raising the dead. You know, they're just not responsive. But, you know, when the word started going out, I noticed that they were getting very vocal. They were taking notes. They were excited. And I just thought, not because I don't want to teach this just because I got a good response from the men and it's just a great word and I've already got the notes done. But it was so powerful in the sense I noticed that there was a shift on the inside of them. And some of those were your husbands and your sons, nephews. And I saw a shift in their life that they realized, I've got something to go out here and win. I've got something I can take and I can go out here and win. And I want you to have that same thing. I feel like, not just me, I feel like the Lord wants you to have that. But what I got to noticing in this passage here was, and this is the thought, full faith is not just knowing it's possible. Faith is not just knowing that God can. Faith is trusting that it's already done. And the man brought the son, and the disciples tried to cast the demon out. Well, for him to bring, for the man to bring his son, and for the disciples trying to cast him out, they would not have tried if they didn't think that they could. You ever notice that? Why would the man brought his son, and why would the disciples try to cast out the demon if they didn't feel like it was a possibility? But just knowing that it's a possibility doesn't mean that that's faith. Because, and the reason that I'm saying that is, when I first saw that, I was like, well, I don't know. That's felt kind of condemning a little bit. But in verse 19, Jesus called them faithless. Now, I didn't say that, Jesus did. He called them faithless. And really what that means is no faith. It means no faith. And one of the areas that really ministered, that really stood out to me there is that Jesus called them faithless. Now, I want to be very clear. You can have strong faith in one area and maybe not such strong faith in other areas, okay? So I don't think this meant that they had absolutely no faith at all in them. Because every person has a measure of faith, or we couldn't, Paul wrote that, or we couldn't have been born again, right? There had to be a measure there of faith on the inside of us just to receive. But a lot of people, and a lot of times we just think, well, that's all the faith that we need, and it's not, and that our faith can't increase, because our faith can increase. But Jesus called them faithless. And let's look at verse 23 again. And he said, the man said, if you can, have mercy on us and help us if you can. And Jesus said, what do you mean, if I can? Anything is possible if a person believes. Now notice that Jesus didn't say anything is possible just if a person has faith. He went, and I'm not saying that's not what he means there, but he also gave a greater description of what faith was, because he called them faithless. So he helped them to understand what true faith is not just knowing that I can, but it's believing that I will. Okay? And it also goes so far as to say, I'm going to go ahead and trust that it's already done. especially if it comes to things like healing. We can look through God's word and we can see that by his stripes, I am healed. You were healed, is what it said, like a past tense. So I can know that that's already been provided for me, that my faith, my belief, my trust reaches out. And I think the word that we need to use is appropriates what's already been provided for us. It takes hold of what's already been provided for us. So that's the area of, and I want, this is the one of the things that I really felt the Lord was dealing with me on, was about not just knowing but trusting. And how do I trust? What does trust look like? Because a lot of times when I say I trust somebody, we have this thought that, okay, well, if I trust, there are no reservations at all on the inside of me. You know? But what I've learned, in order for trust to be built on the inside of us, there's going to have to come, I think I'm finding the vein that I've been looking for here. There's going to have to be that first time that I say, Lord, I trust you in this, and I am going to work as hard as I'm going to do everything within my power to just forget about it. I'm going to do everything in my power to walk away and to do something completely different. Does that make sense? I'm going to go about my responsibilities. I'm going to go about and do what I need to do, even though everything on the inside of me is screaming, or all the emotions, I'm going to leave it with Jesus. I'm going to leave it with him, and I'm going to walk away and go about my daily duties. There's going to have to be that first time. I really feel like the Lord really prompted that in my prayer time today to speak this to you today. There are probably people in here that you want to trust, but you're attributing trust to, I don't feel anything. I don't have any reservations. I'm not. I did my best not to, because I don't try to talk about me all the time. But I'm with me all the time, so I can only talk about me, and nobody else volunteers their stories for me to tell. So I'll just tell my own. There was a very recent that I had the opportunity to get offended, and at first I was very offended. And has anybody ever been offended before? Yeah. Well, offenses are not fun. They're not fun at all. But the Lord hit me with this trust thing, and it was like this. I know you're angry, and I know you're offended, but do you trust me? Well, I'm going to tell you everything on the inside of me. I wanted to go to that person and tell them what I thought about them. I felt validated to do so. But there was, I knew that number one, the devil's not going to tell you to bite your tongue. He's going to tell you to go, you go give them a piece of your mind. Are you going to let them talk to you like that? Really? Especially as a man, I know this is a room full of women, but for me, it's like, are you going to be spineless? Noodle back? Yellow streak up your back? Are you a coward? Are you going to let them talk to you that way? I'm going to tell you, indignation was rising by the second. But I knew it was the Lord on the inside of me, and this came to me so clear. And if you don't write this down, you're going to miss it. I'm telling you, you're going to miss it. This is worth you combing your hair and coming out this morning. If you will bite your tongue, you always have opportunity later to go back and tell that person what you feel like you need to tell them. But if you say it immediately, you've done spit it out. And you can apologize, and there's grace in that. But what's said cannot be unheard. Even if they forgive you, deep down on the inside, You've done something in their mind, in that person's mind, that even if they forgive you and even if they understand, you are starting to build walls in their mind. For that person, man, I'm telling you, this is exactly where we were supposed to go today. You are building walls in that person's mind that they're not going to let you any further. The tendency is to not let you back in any further. And when the Lord was telling me this, he said, because a lot of times if you give yourself time to cool off, you'll just realize how silly that was. And if you would have spouted off at the mouth, is this good? Is this all right? If you would have spouted off at the mouth, you would have said a whole lot of things. Number one, that's not true. And would have hurt them and would have hurt your relationship. All over, you got offended. And what did Pastor Tom say so many times? If you can't be offended, you can't be defeated. Well, let me tell you what happened. I bit my tongue. And I didn't want to bite my tongue. I wanted to get mad. I did get mad. But I wanted to say things. I wanted to, Brenda, I wanted to just get angry. And when I went home, I just told the Lord, I trust you concerning this. I trust you. And it was miraculous. I literally felt a tangible disintegration of anger. I could feel it in my body. If that makes sense, it was tangible. I could feel, like in my mind, I was like, wait a minute, I'm supposed to stay angry here. Natural man, I'm supposed to stay angry. But I could feel it leaving. It's like I lost the power to get mad at that person. This is not about, what a great manifestation of God in John's life. I'm going to say, this is what happens when we say, God, I trust you in this matter. And I'm going to give silence to this, even though everything on the inside of me is wanting. Am I the only one that's ever been there? No, I don't think so. But when you tell the Lord, I trust, we're going to get to a second what trust really is. And can I, well, let's just go ahead and go there. The definition of trust, one of it was, to adhere, as in being fused with someone. When you trust someone, it's almost like you, do you know what I'm talking about when you're being fused? Like if you're welding, let's go ahead, you know, understand welding. A weld is hard to break, if it can be broken at all. So when I fuse myself to trust in the Lord, and I fuse myself there, I'm building a bond there that as life goes on and I begin to put all my situations and all the things that I'm dealing with, and I say, Lord, I trust you concerning this. That's when John 5:14 says, now we have this confidence. You start building confidence in the Lord. And that's what the Lord was showing me, was you're giving him time to work. And a lot of times you're giving him time to work with you. What I thought was I was giving God time to work on that other person, but what the Lord was trying to show me just how silly that it was, what I was getting angry over. And like I said, if I would have spouted off, I would have said some things that I would have regretted. I would have regretted it. I would have been embarrassed. I would have been humiliated. Now, and I thought this morning when I was walking and praying, I said, thank you, Lord, for rescuing me from myself. Has anybody ever needed rescued from themselves? Boy, I have. A lot of times. But when we bring things to the Lord, it's almost like sometimes we will say, Lord, if you can do this. And that was why the response that Jesus looked at this man and says, what do you mean, if I can? What part of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us did not get covered? Can you think of any situation in your life that the Lord has not covered, and you, where you would say, Lord, even you can't do this. Because he said right here, anything is possible. And a lot of times people will stop there. Well, anything is possible, but that doesn't mean it's going to happen for you. What makes it possible is if you believe or if you trust. All right. And to trust is to be confident. It's to be certain. Doesn't seem like there's any room for what we would call doubt there. You're certain. Thought about that today in and just in everyday life. A lot of the things that we just get to experience, hot water, running water. I mean, heat and air. What's that?
Cars.
Heated steering wheels. I think they cool them off now for you, don't they? Cup holders so your coffee doesn't get too cold. And a lot of times we'll just whine and cry, Lord, do you even care about me? I'm like, he created a car that would heat your coffee up for you, that would keep it hot for you. I'm just thinking, health, family, children. I hope you're thankful for your husbands. There's some great benefit. And so when we look at what I'm saying is we can begin to look over our lives and see how good God has already been to us. It should build a confidence. And here's the thing. Do we deserve a lot of these things?
No.
Why do we get to experience them? Just because God loves us. It's not because of what we've done or what we haven't done or whether we earned it or whether we deserve it. It's just his love shines down on us. And outside of that love are to build this confidence that, hey, Lord, you have taken care of me through all of the... Has he ever healed your body? Has he ever helped you financially? Many times. So many things that we could say. We should already have that confidence built that we know that God's going to take care of us and that we should go ahead and place our trust in him. Now, I'm going to show you how to do that, and I feel like this is going to be a benefit. Let me rephrase that. The Holy Spirit's going to show us how to do that. I'm trying to get better at that, and I'm past trying. I'm actually doing it. Let's go to John 14 in the King James Version. We'll give old King James some love here. And when you're turning there, one of the passages is that when we trust is when we're inviting peace into our life. When I trust, I'm inviting in peace. And we're going to go to John 14, then we're going to go to Mark chapter 4. In just a little bit. You say, how do I trust? And because a lot of times when we ask God to do things, I'm trying to remember what all came to me in prayer this morning. I had some other things before work, so I was a little bit distracted. What are some things that we can do when we ask God to help us? And we make a request, a lot of times we start going to try to find the tools to help God out. Does that sound like trust? It really doesn't, because can I confide in y'all this morning? One of the hardest areas for me when I came on staff here was learning how to delegate. And I still don't do it well. My theory was this. By the time I ask somebody to do it, by the time they get here, I could already have it done. But I have to remember not everything's about me, and some people want to help minister. And one of those areas was mowing the yard. I mean, I wanted to mow. I had a specific way I thought I wanted it to look, and I found out that Ron Oaf wanted to do that. So I had to move out of the way. But what I'm trying to say is where a lot of times when we, instead of delegating our trust to the Lord, a lot of times we want to say, no, I'm going to help you out here, God. And you'll ask him to do something and you'll go, okay, can I use finances? A lot of times we'll ask God to help us financially and then we go home and start trying to crunch the numbers. And I'm not saying we don't need to be responsible and look at our bank accounts and things like that and just go out and spend aimlessly. But what I'm trying to say is this. If you ask God to help you financially, what's going to bring peace to your life is just trusting that he's going to do it. And I know there's responsible spending and there might be ways you can cut back on things that you know, I better not say that. I might get in trouble. Certain, you know, businesses, but it's, you may have to cut back on some things. You know, the Lord might show you some things that you can do, but it's not like going to be going out here and digging a ditch. You know, hard work, hard laborious. A lot of people will go and they'll ask the Lord to help them financially and they'll go home and they will, the turmoil will still be in their mind. Does that make sense? You're still, can we just call it worry? Call it what it is? If it's keeping you up at night, you can say that you're not worrying, but you are worrying. I would rather go ahead and call it what it is and deal with it, okay, than try to lie to myself and say I'm not worrying when I've been up from 1 to 5 going, okay, well, I'll not eat this week. You know, that's crazy. Or I'll walk to work to save gas money. I mean, I know that's funny, but I mean, these are the things that in your head, how can I, when we are to just say, Lord, I trust you. I'm going to be responsible. I'm going to, if you bring me something, I will do it. But it's because people ask me all the time, like, how do you get all these sermons together? Well, I'll say, I go down to church and I beat my head against both walls till something jars loose. No, you know what I do? I go about my day and I do my daily duties, and when the Lord gets ready to bring thoughts to me, he will bring them to me. I've tried to sit down at the desk and power think it in, Kim, but you know what you get? A headache. And you get frustrated. And you say, I'd rather be driving a forklift right now than having to. When we just say, Lord, you know what? You're going to bring it to me when you bring it to me. And that's why when you get a call on Sunday morning, hey, can you teach? And you go down to the church and you just start typing and then you get 4 or 5 pages of notes. It wasn't because of my efforts. It's because God had something to say to you guys. And he was going to use me to do that. But I had to trust him that he was going to bring me the word. I can't go and power think it in. The same way finances or even health. You know, and there are some things we can do for our health and we should do for our health. But if we ask God to heal us, I mean, if you have a report on and you got cancer, I don't know how to heal cancer. I can go to the doctor, I can do all these things. Now, I'm not saying don't do that, but when I say, Lord, I believe it's your will that I walk in complete health and I sow that seed, I'm going to walk away. And trust that he's taking care of it. Because if I trust him, if I give somebody a job to do, this goes back to the delegating art. I segued. I'm going to stop doing that. When you give somebody a job to do, if you're constantly having to check on them, if it's done, do you trust them?
No.
You have to trust them. You have to trust them. So when God told us he would do these things for us, and he told us that anything is possible, if we're constantly having to go back to God and check and see if he's doing his job, rather than just saying, I trust you, God, in the face of, this goes back to, even when the emotions are, even when you're feeling doubt and unbelief, even when you're feeling like, or you're looking at the situation and it doesn't look like things are changing. Anybody been there? Because that's what faith is, and that's what trust is. Trust is not in the absence of problems. It is in the face of them. It's in the face of them. And I want to say this as well. In times past, and a lot of this was probably just because of ignorance, but and I didn't know any better, but a lot of times we ask God to do something. And we, as I said, we got two postures we can take. We can trust, or we can just fret and worry over it. And it doesn't mean that God's not going to meet the need. It just means that you are going to live in turmoil until it happens. And you don't have to. You don't have to. God, there will be times I would ask God to do things, and I would spend every day going, oh, God, you know, Lord, let it happen. I mean, just begging and pleading. Well, God eventually answered it, but I spent a lot of needless hours worrying, upset stomach, couldn't eat, couldn't sleep. Does that sound like peace? No, it doesn't sound like peace because it's not peace. What I'm trying to say is this, God, we can ask God and we can trust him, and then we can learn to, when we're having to wait until it manifests, we can do that just saying, we can learn how to just trust the Lord and walk away and go about our day and do our daily duties and just enjoy life. Until, you know, but where people don't understand, I'm trying to cover a lot of things here very quickly. What they don't understand is just because you can't see God moving doesn't mean that God's not dealing already with people. That he's already influencing people. He's already talking to people. And what if he went to someone and they didn't obey the Lord, and now he's got to go over here and talk to this person? It reminds me when Daniel sent out the request, and it was 21 days until he received it, and the angel told him, they said, Daniel, we heard you the first time, but we were held up by the prince of Persia. Let me tell you, just because you make a request doesn't mean the devil goes, well, you know, they're trusting in the Lord, I'm just going to have to get out of the way. No, he's gonna do everything he can do. He's going to present every problem. But let you know, God is getting the answer to you. It just takes time. Why? Because he's dealing with imperfect people just like you are, just like I am. How many times has the Lord prompted me to do something and I didn't do it? Or I said, well, I'll get to it tomorrow. No, I'm going to tell you, when the Lord tells you something, it's time. When's the time to do it? Right now. Because there's somebody on the other end that's waiting for an answer. Glory to God. Okay, John 14. What time do y'all normally get out of here? Okay. Is this boring? Okay. Are you awake?
Yes.
All right, then we'll keep going. Okay, John 14 and 13 and 14. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that I expect you to do. Is that what yours says? Who does it? He said, I'll do it. That will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, he said, I will do it. When we ask, now my responsibility is this. I've got to ask in the power of Jesus' name. That's what I have to do. Does that sound hard? Does that sound laborious? When I say, I ask this in Jesus' name, is there sweat rolling off my forehead? It's not hard to do. Now, I understand trusting may not be easy, or everybody would do it, right? But what Jesus is saying here, if you ask it in my name, he said he's going to do it. My position, that my posture is to ask in his name and then to trust that it's already done. Let's go to Mark chapter 4. And I'm going to be reading this in the New Living Translation. Verse 26. Jesus also said, the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground night and day while he's asleep or awake. The seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. The earth produces the crop on its own. First a leaf blade pushes through, then the heads of wheat are formed, and finally the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come. So what I loved about this part here is that he said he plants the seed, he rises day and night, and the seed is growing, but he doesn't know how it's growing. He just knows it's growing. But he does know this, that my job is to plant the seed and then harvest the crop. That's my job. That's what God's not going to plant the seed for me. He's not going to harvest it for me. And people say, well, then how do I sow and how do I harvest? By faith. A harvest by faith. But understanding this, there are times, no, there's not every time when I ask God to do something for me, it's not my job to position myself and how is God going to do it. It's just trusting him that he's going to get it done. And it's not for me to know how it's going to be done. It's just, I don't have to know. And there are a lot of times I would look at that and I'll say, there was one point in time where I was going to say, I'm going to study the germination process, the scientific facts on that, and pin it up against the Word of God and pull out this great message. But the Lord really corrected me and he said, why don't you just keep it simple? Why do you have to know? What's it so important that you know? Why can't you just trust in me that I'm getting it done? And then rest. When I plant a garden, I put you break up the ground. And that's probably one of the hardest parts, breaking up the ground. And that's one of the areas that is probably the hardest with the Lord with us, is breaking up the hardness of our heart. That way seed can even be planted. That's a hard word. But we need to receive hard words sometimes, don't we? We need to allow God to break up the soil of our hearts so the seed can be planted. And then just trust that all I know is this. Lisa, when I put a seed in the dirt, as long as that dirt is rich, the nutrients are right, if I water that seed, I can cry. I can beg. I can stand over it. I can wallow around and I can talk negative to all my friends about what's taken this seed so long. But if I just trust the process, one day I'm going to walk out there and there's going to be a plant. And then as long as I trust that process, there's going to be fruit or vegetables on that. And I can whine and cry around the whole entire time, but the process is the process. And I mean, I know that's kind of a funny analogy, but that's the reality of what people do. They plant a seed and they'll cry, they'll beg, they'll plead, they'll worry, they'll go through sleepless nights, they'll go through angst, they'll go through all of these things, and the whole time, the seed's growing. The whole time, God's doing what he said he would do. My part is to plant the seed and trust. In trusting, Romans 10, 11 and 12, in the Amplified Classic, it says, the scripture says, no man who believes in him, who adheres to, relies on, and trusts in him, will ever be put to shame or be disappointed. If I trust in the Lord, you know what he said right there? I will never be disappointed. A lot of times when people ask God to do things, the reason they don't trust, it's not that they don't love the Lord, but they've been disappointed in life. They've been disappointed in life. And Paul is saying here through the Holy Spirit, if you'll trust in the Lord, he will never disappoint you. You'll never be put to shame. Verse 12, it says, "No one, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord over all of us, and he generously bestows his riches upon all who call upon him in faith." Or we could say, or call upon him in trust. Because when we trust, as we said probably 100 times already, but we don't need to just get this in our head, we need to get it in our heart. We have to learn to trust, because trusting is like the infomercial. I'm just going to set this seed in the dirt, and then I'm going to walk away. And I'm going to know that God, and I said, it's not that you don't ever give it a thought, but when a thought comes to your mind, what should I do? Well, I should water it with the word. When that thought comes back, let's just say if I ask God for a financial need and I said it and I forget it, and then a couple days later I start feeling that, what are we going to do? That, oh no, I'm going to water it with the word and walk away. Doesn't mean that you don't ever give it a thought, but you don't allow the enemy to let you give it a second thought. Now, there is an effort right there in it, but you can do it. You can do it. As I gave my testimony, you can bite your tongue. And it's hard to do. It's hard to do. But you can do it. Say, I can do it. I can do it. And this is how we begin to walk in peace. This is the peace that we're looking for. But there's got, just like going to the gym, there's that first day, right? It seems like a great idea till the next day, right? And the soreness kicks in, and you're like, what am I doing? I can't even get my arms on the steering wheel. And you start questioning. You're like, what am I doing? Why is it that you are putting yourself in an area that you've never been before? But as you trust the process and you start eating the right things and you just keep going, even in the face of all this pain, even in the face of all this uncomfortable, having to make all these adjustments, then you get to notice them one day, hey, John, you're not as fat as you used to be. And it's just all kind of, body recomposition, and you're just like, wow, I didn't know, that I could do that. I mean, I'm not trying to make it about me. I'm just saying you start seeing muscles take the form of that. You're like, wow, I did not know that was a possibility. I wish I'd have been doing this long time ago. You figure this out at about 45, and then it's like, well, I wish I'd have did this at 19. But God's going to restore the years the locusts have eaten, right? That's what he says in his word. But that's kind of the way it is with trust. There's that first time. And you set the seed in the ground, and then you wake up the next day. There's going to be that temptation to quit. Why? I've not been this far before. I've not been here before. But as you continue to bite that tongue, as you continue to say, Lord, I trust you concerning this, it begins to build up a confidence that I dealt with a guy Saturday after I ministered, and he was dealing with unforgiveness. And I said, you would be amazed at how the Lord uses time to heal you. And he said, well, how do I know that I'm not in unforgiveness anymore? I said, you'll get to the point where it don't bother you near as bad as what it used to. Doesn't mean that, you can't really forget about things. You'd have to go brain dead if you did. But when you think about it, it just doesn't bother you like it used to. And when we begin to plant those seeds and we begin to say, Lord, I trust in you, and God meets that need, there's going to be, I love to say everything is, I'm never going to need anything else, but there's always going to be something in your future that you're going to need God to do. And because you look back in the past, we've built a confidence. We've built a confidence. And say, Lord, I remember when you did this for me, and you came through, and I didn't do anything. I just trusted you. And God's going to begin to do the same things over and over in our lives. And this is how we win. This is how we win. Because right here, right now, our confidence is high. Mine is, because I'm up here talking about it. Confidence is high. My trust is high. You know, we go into church on Sunday morning. We've been in worship. We've been in the Word. As Wes said, we're all on our best behavior. I mean, our faith level is up, and we're saying all the right words. But let me tell you, when you walk out here to your car, and sometimes it's just before you even pull out, somebody cuts you off, and you've done lost your victory. And you know what I've learned? You can bite your tongue even in traffic. You don't have to roll the window out and make gestures and all that stuff. You can keep the window up. You may have to start right there. Just keep the window up this time. I'm just trying to be funny, but what I'm trying to say is we go out into the world, and it's not that truth is not any less real. It just means a lot of times for us, it may be that first time that we're like, I'm going to trust you in this, God. I'm going to trust you in this, and I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to trust you. I'm not going to try to manipulate things. I'm not going to try to say anything or do anything. I'm just going to trust you concerning this. And one of the other areas, I've probably been going for an hour. I didn't intend to. I apologize. Hebrews 1 and 14, he is talking about angels. He said, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Did you know that God has assigned to you ministering spirits that you just make a command and they go? So a lot of times, can I give you an example of what I do? If there's a financial need, I'll say, ministry spirits, go out into this world system and bring in money that I need for this situation. Because the Bible says that the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the righteous. I appreciate those sinners that are out there investing for me. I appreciate their heart. I mean, I appreciate their smarts. Glory to God. I've had people two times over the Christmas holiday hand me $1,000. I didn't do anything. I didn't go in there and give them a woe is me story. I was driving down the road, and this is what I heard. I heard, don't you question the source. And I was like, what? You know, you ever get those, like, I'm going to say when God spoke to me. I got a witness on the inside that was one of those when it said it to me on the inside, I almost got numb. Like, what? I go to this individual's home. I'm just going to drop something off. And he said, I'm glad you showed up. He said, the Lord has been telling me to do this. And he said, I knew deep down on the inside you wouldn't take it. So I went ahead and wrote out the check, and I dated it and everything, so you can't take it back. $1,000. Not bragging, I'm saying this. I didn't do anything to deserve that. I had a financial need, and I just told the Lord, Lord, I trust you concerning this. And I said, ministering spirits, you're going to go out. Now, this person wasn't lost. They were a believer. But you're going to bring that out of this world system into my hand. Now, when I said that, I would love to tell you that I fell out in spirit, but I didn't. There was a part of me that wanted to just be like, that sounds nuts. But I had to trust the seed of God's word over my situation. What I'm trying to tell you is this, if God will do that for someone like me, he is no respecter of persons. Whatever you need, whether that's relationship problems, whether that's financial problems, whether that's problems with your children, whether that's problem at your job, whatever it may be, you don't have to try to manipulate situations. You can say, Father, I trust you concerning this, and walk away. And that's the peace in our life. That's the ammunition. That's how we win. That's how we win. Amen. Did you get anything out of that today? Okay, well, here's some homework. Good teacher always gives homework, right? I want you to go home, not this second, but when you go home, Hebrews 11, 1 through 6. Let's write that down. 1 John 5 and 4. And when you see the word faith, I'm not saying faith is a wrong, I'm not saying faith is not right, a right word to say there, but the Lord has really challenged me to say trust instead. Hebrews 11, 1 through 6. Can I give you a descript? Can I go ahead and give you an example of how I do what I've been doing? In verse 6, it says this: "But without trust, it is impossible to please Him." We've said faith so many times, I don't think we realize what we're saying. If I don't trust God, it's impossible for me to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe, must trust that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. In verse 1 it says, now faith, but I just started saying, now trust is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When I trust, trust means it's really in my spirit, in the spirit realm. Once I ask in His name, it already exists. It's already done. It just takes time to manifest. I'm going to go ahead and stop right there because I could probably teach all day on this because it's such an exciting subject. But what the Holy Spirit wanted to do in us today is faith is an awesome word, but I love the word. I love saying the word trust. Trust. And I believe this is how we start seeing the miraculous in our lives. Man, I saw that the other day. It still blows my mind that I could tangibly feel anger disintegrating. I mean, I wish I could have recorded it, videoed it, because I was like, I want to be mad, but I can't be mad. And that is so not me. I'm usually one of those 3 or 4 days before I get over it kind of guys. I was over it. I mean, I was literally over it to the point that when my wife came home, she was ready for the, not getting on her or releasing it on her, but, you know, for me to talk it out. And she was like, before we went to bed, she was like, wow, I would really, like, you really let that go. And I was like, well, it was the Lord. But I had to put my trust in Him. And guess what? There will be other times to put that into practice. Right? Right? But I'm going to have to put my trust in Him. Think about this. When the disciples couldn't cast that demon out, guess what? They had done it before. Jesus sent them out 2 by 2, and they come in, they come back, and they said this, the demons are subject to us. They'd cast them out before. Why can't they do it now? Because, and this goes back to the fasting part, the reason that a lot of theologians omit that, they feel like it was a bad translation. This is not my opinion. This is not what I'm saying is truth. This is what they said. The reason that people added, that translated the Bible, added fasting is because they were fundamentalist and they wanted to have a part to play in God meeting their need. Because a lot of people look at fasting this way, I want to get God's hand to move right here. Well, fasting's not to get God's hand to move. Fasting's to get you out of the way. Did you know that? So whenever we can't look at it that way. Y'all go ahead and stand up or I'll preach again. I'm not telling you don't fast, okay? I'm not telling you don't do that, but understanding this, when I'm fasting, I'm moving me out of the way. So whenever I am trusting in the Lord and I'm just trusting in Him to do it, I'm moving me out of the way. I'm moving me out of the way. Father, we thank You for these group of ladies. God, the homes that they represent. I just pray, God, today that they are going to take this word trust and they're going to implement it immediately. And Father, remind them that when they say, Lord, I trust You concerning this matter, that regardless of what they feel or what they see, it has no play in what you're doing. It doesn't have anything to do with it. It's just a roadblock. It's just something that's there trying to trip them up, and we don't have to let it. So, Father, whether no matter what it may be, and no matter how grim it may seem, Lord, today we are determined, and we're gonna fuse ourselves with you. And we're going to say, Lord, I trust you concerning this, and I'm not backing off of it. And we're going to thank you for it, God, and we're going to see the results of it in these families today, in the lives of the children, the lives of the relationships of husbands and wives, with grandparents and grandchildren, all the way down, Father, you're beginning to, a shift is beginning to take place, because, Father, this is where results happen, is when we trust. And we're going to thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you go anywhere, let me say this. I do have a podcast from Peggy. Somebody help me. Peggy Ruth Joyce. Okay, the title is, Mandy sent it to me here. The title of it is, Those Who Trust the Lord Shall Not Be Disappointed. Now, if you can go look it up if you're tech savvy, or if you want to come to me afterwards, I can text the link. Thank you. Good grief. I've emptied out, Lisa. I've emptied. Peggy Joyce Ruth. Those who trust the Lord shall not be disappointed. If you do podcasts on your Apple, you can go to that. Just type that in. And it's about an hour long, but it's more about testimonies of things that were just seemingly in the natural were impossible, but she just said, Lord, we trust you concerning this, and she just forgot about it, and it manifested story after story after story. She had my faith way up here. I was like, okay, God, I need $10 million right now. Can I tell you what the Lord told me? Learn how to manage it. Learn how to manage it first. So I asked the Lord for that. Show me how to manage that. And I really enjoyed being with y'all today. Thank you for allowing me to share my heart with you.